Our next case this afternoon is In Re Interest of Zakira T. When you're ready. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Sonia Poland, and I represent the appellant Denzel Daguerre, Sr. There are several issues that I addressed in the appellant's brief. The first issue that I would like to address is the trial court's error in finding that the termination of the appellant's rights was in the best child's best interest. The court's ruling is in contradiction of the evidence in this case. The best interest analysis focuses on the future well-being of the child, and in doing so, the law does not require perfection of the parent. But for the courts to look at the parent's continued improvement in parenting skills with a beneficial relationship between parent and child. And as stated in In Re Interest of Donald B., the future well-being of the child should not be seen through a microscope, but a telescope. But that is exactly what the trial court did in this case. The trial court completely ignored the progress that Mr. Daguerre had made rehabilitating himself during the progression of this case, the programs that he participated in to improve his parenting skills, the interest shown for his son, and his desire to be involved in his son's life. The trial court focused on Mr. Daguerre's past and how he had not been able to care for his son's needs due to his incarceration, and that he was never able to parent his son. That conclusion is in direct contradiction to the trial court's finding in dismissing count three relating to the case plan goal for Mr. Daguerre to safely parent and protect his son. Even the state conceded that Mr. Daguerre met the requirements of the court report case plan and in meeting the goals to safely parent and protect his son and had done everything asked of him while he had been incarcerated. Correct.
And the father had never He was incarcerated in May of that year,
and he really wasn't given the opportunity to by the mother. He had seen the child twice when she had brought him to Lincoln. Other than that, she had not provided him any contact prior to him being incarcerated. Correct. Yes. To some extent, however, I mean, he did have regular contact with the child. He did have weekly phone calls with him so that he could communicate and get to know him. He was unable to have in-person visits due to COVID and the facilities that he was located in. Even caseworkers weren't able to have contact with my client, let alone the child. Otherwise, my client did want contact, in-person contact, and still wants that contact with him today, if allowed to. So I think that he's wanting to provide that parental care. He's just been unable to due to some circumstances beyond his control, such as the COVID pandemic that we were going through at the time.
As I understand your argument, you're not necessarily challenging the statutory factors as much as the second prong of the best interests.
Correct, Your Honor.
And how does that dovetail then with the second issue before us and the failure to order the guardianship with your client's mother?
Well, I'll go into that now, Your Honor. I do believe that the trial court erred in determining that guardianship was not in the best interest of the juvenile. The appellee claims that the trial court never presented the issue of guardianship and was not made a formal ruling on the issue and therefore lacks jurisdiction. However, there is evidence to the contrary. The evidence in the record shows that the juvenile court was presented with the issue of guardianship at 5 permanency hearings on October 19th of 2020, January 21st of 2021, May 27th of 2021, September 9th of 2021, and January 13th of 2020.
The state, I'm sorry.
Just procedurally, a request for a guardianship, how is that? Is it sufficient just for a case plan, or is there a motion that needs to be filed?
I think it is sufficient that it's been ordered in a case plan, considering that the court adopted that case plan in order that it be implemented, and that there should be goals for the parties involved, but then also for the Department of Health and Human Services in order to implement that. They are directed to, develop that case plan and then implement it with the parties, so that I don't think that a separate motion should need to be filed in order for a guardianship to take place.
And steps were taken, correct? Like the precedent, those types of things, they were
The ICPC was approved, wasn't it?
It was, Your Honor, yes. So even though it wasn't stated as a goal listed in the case plan itself, the Department of Health and Human Services was already taking those steps. The first caseworker, she said that it needed to be done, and since she was leaving it upon the new caseworker to make for sure that that did happen. The ICPC did take place. The grandmother was approved, and she was willing to take all three children so that they could remain together, because that was an issue that the therapist did bring up, that she thought it was important for them to stay together, all three children, instead of being divided and going to different homes.
But the other children had a different father, right?
One was unknown.
Yes. Yep.
Well, your client wasn't the father of the other
of two. The other two. The mother did allege that he was the parent, well, the father of the other two as well, and that was not true.
So a guardianship would only be with regard to the one child, though. Is that your understanding?
The grandmother was open to having guardianship for all three children. And I think that the department, it was their intention to have the children stay together as well, and they were open to the grandmother having guardianship of all three, and even asked her about that, and she said that she was open to that.
Does the termination of the father's parental rights prevent that guardianship from going forward?
In my opinion, it does not, but I know that the department, their intention after the termination hearing was to move forward then with adoption, since the parental rights had been terminated with regard to both parents and not just one.
For this child, has the permanency plan ever been adopted? With reunification with the mother initially, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. Yes. The primary permanency plan for this child was never adoption. It was always from October of 2020 till the time of the termination hearing. It was always guardianship or guardianship with a relative.
And the foster parent was a cousin of the mother?
I believe it was a cousin of the mother, yes. But it was not a close relative like the grandmother of my client, Your Honor. Although they're not supposed to linger in foster care, I don't believe that the child would have been lingering in foster care if the guardianship would have been implemented in a timely manner, like it should have been, considering that the court had approved that case plan for guardianship back in October of 2020. And here we were in March of 2022 when this trial took place, and still that guardianship hadn't taken place, and it could have been in that amount of time. The department did not do the ICPC in a timely manner, which was unfortunate. And so I think had that been done, that this child would have been not been lingering in foster care as long as he had.
Well,
So I think that if that guardianship had been in place, like the court had ordered, it would be a non-issue at this point.
What about the trial court's statement that the guardianship is only a temporary placement, and that was part of the rationale for not ordering?
It is a temporary placement. However, steps do have to be taken in order for that to be dissolved, though. So I do think that it did give the child the permanency that everyone in this case was looking for. I mean, our ultimate goal is to provide permanency for these children and to not have them be in foster care forever and to go back to their family, which is the preference, and could have happened in this case and in this situation being the grandmother. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And may it please the court, my name is Christopher Haroon with the Hall County Attorney's Office. I represent the state in this case. I guess I'll begin with the best interest of the child. As you discussed with Ms. Poland, the soonest the father in this case will be released from prison is November 28th of next year. That's not the soonest he will be capable of having a child in his life. That's the soonest he might be released from prison. This child has been in the foster care system since February of 2020, more than 2.5 years ago. It is not in his best interests that he continue to remain in that system for at least another year, and potentially up to 3 or 4 years, given the length of parole and when Mr. Daguerre could actually be ready to parent. He has never parented the child in this case. He was aware that the child was born within a week of his birth. He knew the child's name. He testified that he thought the child was his, though there was not a DNA test to prove that until after this case had been filed. But he was aware of the child's existence and chose to commit a crime that landed him in prison for 8 years. He made a decision not to be there for his child. That is something the court considered. It is something the court is allowed to consider. The fact that he's in prison alone is not why the rights were terminated. His decision landing him in prison shows that he's an unfit parent. His decision not to set up visits properly while he was in prison, as limited as they could have been, he did not take the step necessary to allow visits. He has never been there for this child. This child needs to be with his siblings. That's what the child psychiatrist said. His best interest is with his siblings. They're the only permanency he has known. The only permanency in his life is that he's lived with his siblings in his current foster placement.
Does he have the option of continuing?
I don't know that it's in the record, but it was news to me during the termination hearing that the grandmother was willing to take the other two kids. There was a period of time where she had indicated she was interested in being his guardian, but not the guardian of his siblings. I do not know if that is in a court report. I know it is not going to be in the termination hearing itself.
Wasn't this father doing everything he was asked to do in the court's plans? I mean, he was participating in education, parental education. He was being cooperative. He was communicating whenever he had to. He was complying with correctional, facility officers. So he was doing everything he was supposed to do. The only thing he hasn't done is been given an opportunity to parent, understandably, because he engaged in an action that put him in prison. But given that, and given the ICPC approval for grandma to get that opportunity to have him be placed with a family member until dad could perhaps establish he really is able to parent this child, what's the problem with that?
Well, as I discussed earlier, it was news to me that the child could be in a guardianship with his grandmother and with his siblings.
Is that the only opposition to her having the guardianship, is that there was uncertainty about her taking the other two half-siblings?
At that time, yes. At this point, my concern would be the fact that this child barely knows her. He has only met his father in person one time. He has met his grandmother a couple of times, but he has never spent any serious time with her. He has spent very little time with her. The other two children do not know her at all. The three children have been living together in their current foster placement for over 2.5 years at this point. They're in a routine there, and Dr. Liske repeatedly testified that the most important thing in these kids' lives were to maintain a routine. If they are to be taken out of their current placements together, whether they all moved in with the child's grandmother or just this particular child, their entire life will be thrown out of whack. Their routine will be gone, their consistency will be gone, they will be completely relearning a new life. They have been traumatized by being put in the system already, and to pluck them out of the one consistent thing in their life and put them somewhere else is not in their best interest. Yes. As far as I'm aware, for this part, for Mr. Daguerre, the permanency plan was always a guardianship relative, and it was the permanency goal for each of the juveniles at one point. But no one ever filed a motion for guardianship. State's position. I will concede I don't have any specific authority, but it's hard for me to understand the notion that the juvenile court could have rejected a request when the issue was never formally brought before the court.
It was in every case plan.
It was in every case plan, but there...
And the court approved the case plan.
The court did approve the case plans, but the case plan directs the department and the parties to do what they can to cooperate with the case plan to set these things up. It doesn't direct the court sua sponte to take its own steps, which I believe is what the appellant is asking for here. Nobody in fulfilling the case plan made any formal request or filing for a guardianship.
Is that all that's missing here then? Is it a little technicality? Somebody didn't file a motion?
Well,
are we going to take away a dad's rights to his child because somebody didn't file a motion?
By not filing that motion, that issue was never litigated. We didn't have any hearings on guardianship. We had hearings on whether it should, on permanency, and there was a part of a case plan, but there in the transcript are zero arguments about whether a guardianship is ultimately the right decision for this child or for his siblings.
Well, it seems that the court thought it was before it because it denied the request for a guardianship in its order.
In the termination hearing? During the termination hearing, the notion of whether a guardianship with the grandmother should be put in place did come up. The state and the guardian ad litem were not on notice that we were going to be litigating that issue at all, and in my position, it's my position that we didn't. All of the evidence was as to best interest of the children ultimately, because they've been out of the home for 25 months, which is sufficient for termination on its own. But the hearing was based on the motion to terminate. We did not go into that hearing believing we were dealing with guardianship at all. And the fact that the court put that in his order, if that is a denial, does not mean that a guardianship could not happen for this child or for any of the children. If the rights to all three parents are terminated, guardianship is still a possibility for permanency. That is not the current case plan goal, but it is still something that could be done down the road if someone were to file and say they wanted to become the guardian of this child or all three children.
Well, then looking back at the father, who fulfilled all of the obligations that the state had up.
The father has fulfilled the case plan goals insofar as they existed, but they were very narrowly tailored, recognizing the fact that he was in prison. He couldn't actually interact with the child in person. He couldn't take the child on the weekends. Visitation was limited to phone calls for the most part because of his incarceration. He did take the classes that were asked of him. So in that sense, yes, he did do everything that the case plan directed him to do. but that was very limited, and it was the position of the caseworkers and of the psychologist that he had never actually parented. He had taken parenting classes, but he had never really had the opportunity, he had never supervised.
Was there any evidence in the record that he fathered a child before this one?
No.
He didn't think at one point that he was the father of one of the children for about a year, and then fathered that, acted in a parental role for that child?
He believed that he was the father of the older child, and he did testify to interacting with her to a degree, but it was limited. It wasn't like the child was left in his care and custody. He was never the father to that child, but he did indicate that for a six-month period, he attempted to be there for her. But ultimately, the best interests of this child do not lie in waiting for the father to be out of prison. They do not, it is not in his best interest that this case remain open indefinitely. And that ultimately is what's going to happen if Mr. Daguerre's rights are not terminated.
So, if your takeaway from this, any person who gets sentenced to a term of 5 to 8 years should lose their first time?
Not per se.
What would be the requirement? What would differentiate from somebody in this position?
We'd have to look at how they ended up in prison, what their actions were that led to that, what their relationship was with the child before going to prison, while in prison. Additionally, is there another parent who is capable of taking care of these children? If the mother was capable of taking care of these children, despite Mr. Daguerre being in prison, this case never would have come before the court. So the fact that someone is in prison in and of itself is not enough. Cases are clear on that, and that's not the position I'm arguing for today.
So it's his misfortune that the mother of the child brought this matter into Health and Human Services oversight.
Well, you could, I concede you could phrase it that way, but ultimately, he made the decision he made that landed him in prison, and the mother made the decision she made that landed these children in the oversight of the department. Those two decisions combined are why we ended up here and why they are not fit to parent the kids. If the mother had not done that, the case never would have arisen. Mr. Daguerre still wouldn't be parenting this child, but the case wouldn't have come to court if he had had the fortune of the mother doing her job.
Would you say it's unique to see a parent who is incarcerated complete everything that's asked of them of that person in the way that this father has done?
I have limited experience personally with that. As I said before, he did everything he was asked to do, but he was asked to do very limited things because of his situation.
But he was trying to have contact with his child on a weekly basis, right?
Yes.
And this was even during a time of COVID when a lot of communications became more difficult.
Correct.
Was that something factored in by the state in considering the timing of all this?
It was.
Thank you.
We've taken you over time. I would give you 1 minute of rebuttal if you would like, since we took counsel over time. You don't have to take it. To you. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your appearance here today. Your case is submitted, and you are excused.
Thank you.